Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us today is Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Always nice to have you with us, as usual. And the topic today is one that I'm pretty sure everybody can relate to, even if you're not a plant. Drought stress, specifically drought-stressed crops.
Yeah.
It's hot, it's gross, it's been miserable. What can you tell us?
Yeah, this has not been a good week. That's what I can tell you.
You're right, by golly.
So, you know, if you've been driving around trying to stay cool in the AC, you might have seen some big trucks driving out into some fields. Most of those would be some silage trucks. Right now is the time of year. We're actually kind of probably on the backside of it. Corn and sorghum are getting chopped right now. But with that, because of the drought stress, the heat stress, we could run into a few issues with some of those forages. So nitrates can become an issue. So, you know, farmers, we're sitting out here, we're thinking we're going to have plenty of rainfall. We always have to be optimistic in the spring. And then we get into this year that we've had. Some parts of, I know, even Franklin County, if you divide it in half, you go north of Ottawa, it seems like you've had plenty of rain. You go south of Ottawa, we seem like we've been relatively dry. So we fertilized them nice and heavy, expecting a bumper crop, and then we get into these droughts. And because of that, we can see some high nitrate levels. And nitrates will accumulate in the lower portion of the plants, and basically only happens when we have less than expected crop yields. So the issue with nitrates is the toxicity in livestock. So if we go to bale these forages, or if we're going to chop it for silage and they have high nitrate levels, we could actually kill them. And that's has something to do with how nitrates are adsorbed into the bloodstream. They attach to the hemoglobin, and then they render, like something, they change it, they render it, and it can't carry oxygen throughout the animals, and then they die if the nitrate levels are high enough. So it can be a big concern.
So nitrates lead to, I think it's called hypoxia?
Yeah.
Not enough oxygen in the, wow.
So simple, I mean, we can do some tests. It's a very simple test, and we can do this prior or post-harvest. Several labs can do it. So it's a very easy process. But as with taking a soil test, another simple process, good representation of the field is going to be important. We don't want to just go out there and take plant samples from one corner of the field. We want to make sure we go throughout that field. And guys, how high do we have to go up? That's going to be the question. Most of the time, nitrates accumulate in the lower third of the plant. But if we're talking you know, just these stems, that's where the big heavy stems, that's where a lot of those nitrates are going to be accumulated at. If we go to the 18, 20 inches high, you know, we're going to feel pretty safe if we know that that's the worst it's going to be.
Are there physical signs in the plants themselves, like, oh, all of the leaves are turning yellow or anything else like that, that'll give you a clue that you probably want to check?
I mean, if we just know that it's been drought stressed, I guess if you can see it's yellow, it's been burned up, it's stunted maybe, and you know you fertilized it heavily, that might be a sign that, hey, we could have an issue here. But really not necessarily physiological signs. It's really just going to be done by a lab. It's hard to just say, yep, this is what nitrate toxicity is going to look like in a plant.
Gotcha.
And so we want to go out there, take plant samples 18, 20 inches from the ground to 18, 20 inches. Now that can vary greatly depending on what kind of harvesting method or what we're going to do with it. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. The big thing is when you get your results back from the labs, again, multiple labs across the state can do it. I know SDK Labs can do it out in Hutch. K-State Lab can do it. I mean, doesn't matter where you send it to, just make sure you get good plant samples. And the toxicity is accumulative. So the animal has to eat so much of these nitrates to have an issue. Forages that contain more than 6,000 parts per million are labeled potentially toxic. okay, to healthy animals. If we're talking animals under stress, so this last week, you know, this heat stress, if they are sick or lactating or they're pregnant, those levels can differ. So the most labs will send you a kind of a key, and it'll tell you, is it safe to feed and what it's safe to feed to. But depending on what method you're going, how you're going to feed it, are you going to, if you're going to bale it, maybe we want to, test the lower part of the stock to determine the greatest risk. Okay. We don't really necessarily care about the leaves because they're not going to have a whole lot, but we just want to test that lower part of that. If we're going to grind it though, and we're going to bale it into a bale and we're going to just grind it up with a hay grinder, then we're going to maybe want to know, well, what's that whole plant like? Because we're going to dilute that stem up a little bit. And so knowing what you're going to do with it and how you're going to feed it can make that sampling process a little easier. Also, if you know where your harvest height is going to be, we can go, hey, I don't need to go from 0 to 20 inches. I only need to go from 6 to 20 inches or something like that to get a good representation, because we're going to leave part of that out in the field then. So, something else I will mention, if you're in a part of the field that looks poorer than the others, like maybe it's stunted, maybe it is yellowed, it just looks different. Maybe if we're baling those, we want to wrap them up and then we can mark them and say, hey, you know what, we'll come back and retest those. So, and retesting it sounds expensive if you've already tested it before you harvested it, but it's much cheaper to retest it than it is to lose livestock. So with that being said, if you have some bales or know an area of the field that is not looking good, we can go ahead and get those retested for you. I have gotten a question about silage. You know, is silage safer? Well, yes. I guess the simple part of that is it's a safer option. Mainly, we are chopping the whole plant, so we're going to dilute those already. But then in the ensiling process, it could potentially lose up to 50% of the nitrate levels. So that is something that's kind of important. And again, I would suggest, if you're going to chop it for silage and you think you're going to have high nitrates, leave 6 inches of stubble height out there. That bottom 6 inches, guys, doesn't have a whole lot of nutrient content to it. And we know it's going to run the risk of having the highest amount of nitrates. So, again, if we can avoid that, I think that's the best thing. The scariest thing I hear is people saying, oh, I got this sorghum out there. It ain't doing very good. I'm just going to graze it standing. The issue I have with that, yes, we can test for nitrates. And we can avoid making them consume the bottom third of the plant. I mean, the animal's going to go out and they're going to harvest the leaves or the grains first. They're not going to go straight after the stalk where it's hard and there's just not a whole lot there. So we can't avoid the highest risk of that by just not making them graze it. So just grazing the leaves. My issue with grazing like sorghum sedans, sorghum itself, is probably prussic acid in these heat, in this drought-stressed heat environment that we're in right now. Anytime a sedan plant or a sorghum plant is stressed, they can have the chance of putting off prussic acid. And unlike nitrates, which again takes some time because you got to accumulate so much over time, prussic acid's pretty quick. I mean, you turn them out there and come back in 30 minutes, you could find dead livestock. So prussic acid's a big deal. We're not worried about prussic acid in a baling process or the siling process, because as those plants go to dry down, the cells erupt and prussic acid leaves. But when we're talking about grazing them, prussic acid's a bigger deal. So with that, guys, if you have questions, please don't hesitate to give the office a call at 785-448-6826.
Now I'm thinking about Lizzie Borden, because that was part of her defense. It was said that she went into the drugstore to buy some prussic acid to clean a sealskin cape. No wonder they were suspicious. That stuff isn't good. All right. Well, thank you for the heads up on that. And that's a lot to think about right there. But yeah, good information. We appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District, Adult Development and Aging, and Family Resource Management Agent, Janae McNally.